holiday AF.
Woo! Christmas themed! Yay! Yes!
Super excited for
that. Said that in my kid voice, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Really butchered that one.
You're a mom now.
With my child on my lap as we speak.
Exactly. So Ashley only has mom voice now.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be fun.
I know. I've finally grown out of mine.
5 years later?
Yeah.
Jesus. You know? Takes that long?
And I still catch myself seeing certain things. Yeah. Like, I catch it here and there. Like, bathroom, unfortunately, is still potty. Yeah. Oh. And then I have to be like, yo, Shauna.
We're adults.
Your child is 5. It's the bathroom.
He can learn. Bless you.
Oh, we've got the baby with us today, so you may hear her a little bit. But yeah, we're here to talk about some fucked up Christmas stuff.
Christmas horrors.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. It's like a month full of like fucked up Christmas things. It's cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be really, really cool. This month we've got a lot of fun stuff in store for you guys. Yeah. Did you hear about the latest thing with the Zodiac case as they deciphered his clue?
I actually just read that today. But did you read that they're not releasing any of it because they would like the victims and their family to stay at peace? So
that's it? That's all we get is that one sentence?
Yeah, they're not going to release.
That sucks.
Wait, you were serious?
Yeah.
Like, your face right now was serious? Yeah, from what I understand, they don't intend on releasing everything.
Yeah, all I saw was, it says, I hope you're having lots of fun trying to catch me. I'm not afraid of the gas chamber because it will send me to paradise all the sooner because I now have enough slaves to work for me. Which I'm like, I don't understand that. But I didn't realize there was more to it.
Yeah. There's, like, it was, like, a 304...
Holy crap.
...word letter.
I thought it was just a small chunk off of a letter.
No.
Didn't realize it was that big.
They did
it. Wow.
Yeah.
It only took long enough.
I know. And it had, like, a ton of different people on, like, the job. I was reading, I think it said, like, guys in the FBI and everything, but they had people from, like, the United States, Australia... and one other country that had all kind of, like, come together to help decipher what, like, the codes meant.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I'm glad they finally did it.
Yeah, that was cool.
I would love to know more, but I understand.
I want to know everything. I wonder if, like, once a certain chunk of time passes, if they will, like, let the information out. Because I've heard of that happening before.
Once, you know? I think the immediate family members are assumed like to not really been in the picture anymore, alive. Yeah.
Because I've seen that with autopsy reports and stuff, or, like, details about, like, really, really gory cases that they didn't want all of the information let out until everyone had kind of passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Speaking of that, did you know, I learned this when I was taking an anatomy course and we were working with cadavers, that for you to be like a cadaver body, it'll be like a certain amount of years that you're preserved before you're actually worked on and you'll be transported somewhere like however many, it's like a regulation, like there's a certain amount of miles away, like thousands of miles away that you have to be from like your home or like where you died.
I heard about the miles thing, but I didn't know...
Yeah, my professor had told us, and this was like almost 10 years ago, but he had told us that these people had been dead for 7 years, and they had only been working on them for a year.
What?
Yeah.
They can preserve, wow.
I guess if you're sitting in formaldehyde for that long.
That's crazy. Ew, so those cadavers aren't fresh.
They are not fresh.
Ew.
I remember the smell of formaldehyde all too well.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know. It was fascinating to work on them, though. And then they don't release their names or anything like that. And by the time we saw them, they were already dissected, so it's not like you'd be able to make out what their face looked like and recognize, like, oh my god, I know her.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's crazy. We had a girl and a guy. They're both older.
But yeah, so Christmas stuff,
Christmas
guys.
Here we go.
Today, I get to be a listener because this one's all Ashley, and she told me what she was going to do, so I know what the subject is.
But she didn't know the story.
I didn't know the story, so I'm going into this absolutely blind, and Ashley is going to talk to you about the Covina Massacre today.
Yes, it is the Covina Christmas Massacre. It's a night that I remember all too well. It haunts me, honestly, every single year. So, you know, like, there's always that occasional story of somebody who didn't turn off the lights on their Christmas tree, or their Christmas tree was too dry and then it set a fire and...
You know what's crazy?
What?
That happened when I was a kid.
To who?
To, like, neighbors, like, three blocks away from us.
That sucks.
And, yeah, it happened, like, in the middle of the night. It was right next to the school, too, where my elementary school was. Right before Christmas. And their tree was too dry. It hadn't gotten any water. They left the lights on overnight.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you.
And the whole entire house burned down.
Oh,
luckily, God. Everybody got out, but the whole entire house burned down.
They lost everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's...
So, you hear about that usually almost every single year.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, December 24th, 2008, it was me and my best friend, Julia. That's exactly what we thought was taking place at the time. So she was living in Covina, California at the time in a house that was slightly more elevated. It was like on higher ground that kind of overlooked the home that we're going to be talking about. We were just talking on the phone like we did every single day. We were like totally inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden her mom comes like banging at her door and she's like, Julia, there's a fire. Like, we need to go upstairs. The way that this house was kind of set up was odd because it was like you pull up to the house and it looks like a single story house, but then you drive down this driveway on the mm-hmm. side of the house and you realize, okay, there's a first floor and that's actually the second floor.
Oh, okay. So it's one of like the ones where the first floor is like a lower level.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Everything is just like flipped. So when you go upstairs, what is technically the second floor is like the living space, the kitchen and all that jazz, and then the bedroom downstairs and everything. So they ran from downstairs to the upstairs and they had these big glass, beautiful windows. Obviously they're glass, duh, but big windows.
Yeah.
To like look out and you could see these flames, and she's just sitting there on the phone with me describing like how big the flames are and like how crazy it is. And she and I, we get off the phone, we come back later, and we talk about, like, how unfortunate that is, and oh my gosh, it must have been a fire with the tree, and we're just kind of speculating on it, and it's just like, dude, it's Christmas Eve, that sucks, you know? And we went to bed feeling, like, just kind of full of, like, sorrow for those people, because that's, for the way that she described it, to know that the whole entire house was just ablaze, and it's just like, you lost everything.
On Christmas Eve.
Pictures, precious mementos, you know, anything that, whether it was, like,
sentimental.
Thank you. Sentimentally valued or very
expensive.
Like, it's just that's your whole house. And you don't know at that point, too, if everybody got out okay or not. So that was how we left the night. And it, like I said, it was only a couple of streets away from her. The next morning, we saw the news come through on the TV, mm-hmm. and my dad was talking about it. And I was like, wait a second. I know that. Julia and I were just talking about that last night. And he was like, yeah, no, it was not just a fire from the tree. Like, it was all over the news. He was like, it was a massacre. It was this big thing. Like, people died.
Oh, my God.
So we are going to talk about that tonight. Let me find out where I actually left off on my notes.
So this is fairly recent. This is
2008.
We're coming up on the 12th anniversary then.
Yes, we are. This year, this is the 12th anniversary.
The
Christmas
one that
Eve.
I'm going to talk about next week. Yeah, next week. We just had the anniversary of.
Oh, we did, huh?
We did.
Damn it.
We just
should've
had
done that
it,
one
like,
first.
Last week. And that was 64 years.
That was, I was going to say, that was a long
64
time ago.
Years, yeah.
Jesus. So, oh my. Lily's got a lot to say about this. So every year, grandparents Joseph and Alicia Ortega, ages 80 and 70, would have a Christmas Eve party at their Covina residence. So normally I would disclose the address if I had it, in which case I do, but out of respect to the survivors, the friends, and the family who are all still grieving and who have to grieve every year.
This is still very fresh. Yeah.
Even though it was 12 years ago, it's
That's still fresh.
For a lot of people. I it would be fresh for me until the day that I died, to be honest.
Especially for people that's their family, you know.
So I'm not going to list it. If you are really, really dying to see it, you know, it's on Google. I saw it earlier on Google Maps, and it's a completely different house now. Bless you.
Bless you.
Sorry.
Sneezy baby today.
But you know, you don't need to drive by the house because it's not the original house. It looks nothing like it. You know, I don't believe the family or anybody that's related to the family lives there anymore. I don't know for sure, but okay. I would just say just stay away from it altogether.
Yeah. Not like me and the and the Wineville
chicken coop. Yep. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, I mean, it is somewhat still kind of there.
Yeah.
It's not totally, totally all different. So, on this Christmas Eve in 2008, Bruce Jeffrey Pardo headed to the Ortega's restaurant, headed to the Ortega's residence, knowing that friends and family would be gathered there for their annual Christmas party. He was dressed up as Santa Claus and carried a gift wrap package that contained 2 9-millimeter semi-automatic handguns and a handmade flamethrower. It was about 11:30 p.m. when he arrived to the Ortega's house. They had all finished their Christmas Eve dinner. Joseph and Alicia were at their dining room table with their daughters. Alicia, I don't know, I'm going to call her Alicia Jr. because it's her daughter, Alicia's daughter, Alicia.
Oh, huh. A woman that gave her daughter the same name as her? That's cool.
Go, girl, go.
Way to go.
So, Alicia Jr., Letitia, and Sylvia, they were all playing a game of Texas Hold'em. The grandkids were spread around the house. One was upstairs on the computer. A bunch of others were in the backyard by the pool, or they were playing video games on the TV kind of by the back door area. And then there was a number of people in the living room closer to the front door as a lot of them were gathering to leave. It's 11:30 at night.
Okay, yeah, so everyone's kind of like getting ready to pack up for the night.
So all in all, there are about 25-30 people in the home.
Large house.
A lot of people. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, there was a knock at the front door, and 8-year-old Katrina Yusuf-Polsky excitedly shouted, "Santa Claus! Santa Claus!" trying to, like, tell her cousins, like, "Oh, Santa's here."
Yeah.
So she swung open the front door, and she was immediately shot in the face by the quote-unquote Santa.
Okay, I've heard of this.
Oh,
I don't like this one.
I don't like this one either.
I don't like this one. But I didn't realize
it was...
I think
of this every year.
I didn't realize it was recent.
Every year I think about this one. It's awful.
You started it, and I was like, this feels...
familiar.
This feels familiar. Oh.
So, as I said before, he was armed with 2 millimeter handguns that were in his like, little gift wrap box, but he also had 2 other guns on him, so he was... And all in all that I saw, he was armed with 4 guns and then his handmade flamethrower.
Oh, my goodness. So, that's the one that always kills me.
Yep. He shot her and then started firing into the house, and he hit 2 of Katrina's uncles, which would be James and Charles, wounding them, knocking them to the ground. Katrina stumbled out the front door, and then James and Charles tried to get up and stop the Santa, but due to their wounds, they kind of both fell back down to the floor. Aww. And... we'll find out a little bit more about that afterwards. Joseph, Alicia, Sylvia, Alicia Jr., and Letitia all ducked under the dining room table for cover, but once Letitia saw that her daughter, Katrina, was bloody and stumbling out of the house, she bolted and ran to go get her and ran after her. Okay, so we just paused for a second. Because the baby was fussy.
30 minutes.
Was it about... Yeah, it was longer than a second. And Shauna just did this weird voodoo shit on my child. And now she's asleep. In, like, 10 seconds. After a half an hour of, like, fussiness. 10 seconds. So, here we go. Thank you for that. You have to teach me that. Whatever you did. It was really cool. So, one of the partygoers recognized... that it was Bruce dressed as Santa, and they started to shout to everybody, "It's Bruce! It's Bruce! You guys, it's Bruce!" And people are running all over the place. They're screaming. Everyone is yelling. The screaming and running. Oh God, I can't talk. Screaming and yelling, "Run! Run! Everybody, run!" And if you're there, you can hear the gunshots going off. The adults that were there were frantically trying to grab any of the children that they could get their hands on to
get them out of the house.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you said there were, like, what, 30-some people there? 20 to 30?
I saw conflicting reports. It was, like, 25 or 30 people.
That's still a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. And some of the survivors had said
for today's standards.
Yeah.
I just had to throw that in there. I'm sorry. Not to be insensitive or anything, but...
But now that you can't have any gatherings, at least in Southern California, no gatherings of any size, some of the survivors... said that Bruce would be standing over some of his victims and shooting them execution style.
Oh, that's gross.
But in the reports that I read, I don't think it was, like, in the head execution style because people were shot, like, the grandfather was shot multiple times all over. The grandmother was shot in the abdomen. And, you know, like, they listed exactly, like, where people were shot. So, Joseph, Alicia, Sylvia, and Alicia Jr., and I believe as well Joseph and Alicia's daughter-in-law, Teresa Chapa Ortega, she was also under the table hiding with them. Leticia was the only one of their children to survive because she had left and ran after her daughter, but everybody else that was hiding under the table unfortunately got shot and killed. Leticia was, Leticia, sorry, I keep saying Leticia because one of the girls that I worked with before liked to be Leticia. So, Leticia was also one of the first people to call 911 after escaping with her daughter to a neighbor's house. And on their daughter-in-law, Teresa Chapa Ortega, I saw, like, on Wikipedia, they had listed her as somebody who had died. She was one of the 9 victims that died. Mm-hmm. But somewhere else, they had, like, quoted her. And I'm like, well, how could you quote That's her odd. With how she was telling the story after the fact if she died?
So she didn't. She survived.
I'm not really sure. I'm very confused. So as people are trying to escape, Bruce unwraps his homemade flamethrower and starts to spray racing fuel all over the house. Racing fuel.
I hate this guy.
I hate him too. Racing fuel is highly flammable and it can also cause like a flash fire. So when the fire ignited, it was more of an explosion that consumed most of the house. One woman escaped, but she broke her ankle after jumping out of a second story window.
Ooh.
The second explosion.
I know, right?
That, like, hurts just to think about. The actual explosion itself was believed to have killed their grandson, 17-year-old Michael Ortiz, who was upstairs on the computer. Michael's mother was Alicia Jr., so Joseph and Alicia's daughter. The blaze was so large that the flames were about 50 feet into the air, which is how my friend was able to see such
Everything,
a massive fire.
Yeah.
It took 80 firefighters and about an hour and a half to put out the whole entire fire.
80 firefighters.
Yeah, that's, I saw that online. I'm like, are you kidding me? Good Lord.
I mean, it clearly was a large house.
Yeah.
If it could hold that many people comfortably.
Comfortably, and most of them were all downstairs and everything.
Yeah. So I can see why that would take
such a long
time. Especially if he was able to make the whole entire thing go up in flames. I can understand how that would take so much manpower.
Mm-hmm. The victims had to be identified by dental and medical records.
I hate it when that happens.
I know. Oh,
I hate
awful.
It when it's like that because they were burned. And I feel like it's always really sad when it's because they were just so far decomposed.
I was going to say when the decay has just been for such a long time that it's like there's nothing left.
That's a sad one too. When it's like all that was left to identify them was their teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, sucks. By the way, what you just heard was Ashley finishing her second drink. This is our first time drinking together post-baby.
Yeah, because we used to drink for every time we recorded.
Yeah.
And then I got pregnant, and
it's been
Shauna was the only one to drink.
It's been, like, almost a year since her stupid ass dragged me to a brewery thinking that we were all gonna drink just for her to be like, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant.
Yeah, sorry about that. I forgot about that.
It's okay.
How funny.
The baby makes up for it, I guess.
She does, as she's in your arms currently sleeping.
She's in my arms helping me with all of the baby fever that I've been having.
Looking like a little angel.
My ovaries have been screaming at me. Mostly because I'm 26 and I have a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, either do it again now or never do it again.
Do it again now. Do it again now. Just do it again now.
You know, Ashley was telling me that it's regular that her newborn goes to bed at like 11 o'clock midnight. And I don't know if I just got lucky or if I'm like blocking everything out. But I could have sworn my kid was always on a super strict sleeping schedule. And
she's only 2 months.
I don't know if I could risk
giving
back to that. Mine goes to bed at like 10 o'clock and doesn't wake up until like 8 o'clock the next morning.
See, and she, like, lately, she's been going to bed 11:30 midnight. Oof. And then waking up I want to say about 5:30, she just kind of, like, whines a little bit, and then I grab her, I put her next to me, I try to feed her for a minute, and then she falls back asleep, and she doesn't wake up again until, like, 8 o'clock. So it's not a terrible schedule.
That could be, yeah, that part could be worse. My son used to wake up every single morning at, like, 5 a.m., and then it got worse.
And then
he got,
like, awake.
He got bigger, like, it happened again maybe around, like, 2 or 3, and he was waking up every single day on the dot at 5:30. Did not matter how late he was up the night before.
Oh, my God.
He was up at 5:30. And when he was up, he was up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was terrible. That's probably the worst part of it. Him waking up early. It was never so much him going to bed late. Because I've always been able to, like, even now.
Like, I'm okay with it because I don't normally go to bed until, like, midnight anyways.
See, for me, that's, like, my alone time. Like, I get my kid to bed by, like, 9:30 or 10, and then I'm like, okay, from, like, this time until midnight, that's a lot of time.
My alone. I mean, I can do that with her, but then I miss out on sleep, and sleep is, like, very, very precious to me right now.
I remember that. So,
I don't have alone time.
One day you'll be like me, and you'll run on 3 hours of sleep a night, and I do that with a kid that sleeps for, like, 8 hours straight.
See, that's just, you're crazy.
Psychotic.
You're very psychotic. So, 8-year-old Katrina, she survived. The bullet hit her on the side of the face along her jaw, and it's believed that she turned her head at the last second, which ultimately saved her own life.
So it got her, like, in the, like, jaw on the side.
Instead of directly, like, when you hear that in the papers and on the news, the way that it was described made it seem like he shot her directly, like, in the head, in, like, the middle of the head. And it's like, how do you survive that? But so she was still shot in the face, but it was more
like on the jaw. Okay.
And you see pictures of her today, and she looks totally fine. It doesn't look like there's any scarring or any, like, you know, you can tell, like, disfigurement of, like, her jaw having to be rebuilt or anything like that.
Yeah, I wonder if she, I'm sure she had to have some form.
I'm sure there was some surgery. So there was another 16-year-old girl that was one of Katrina's cousins that was shot in the back, but she also survived. The only minor that was killed was Michael. And so I'm sure you're wondering at this point, who was Bruce and why did he attack this family party?
Yeah, who the hell was Bruce?
Bruce was married to Joseph and Alicia's daughter, Sylvia. They had been married for a year, I believe.
So not very long.
Not very long.
So we didn't know Bruce very well.
No, not very, very well.
Apparently not.
Well, she had known him for a couple of years, but they had only actually been married for a year.
Okay.
And then they had been going through a divorce that had actually been finalized 6 days before the massacre took place.
Cool, so he decides to, like, butcher a whole fucking family.
The whole family.
Because those divorce papers were finally finalized.
Yes.
Cool.
So, and I read a lot of stuff, because so he was obviously bitter and wanted revenge, but I read a lot of stuff about, like, she was trying to be like, hey, let's open up a joint bank account, or he wanted to open up a joint bank account, and she said no. He wanted her to take care of her other, I think she had 3 kids from another marriage. He wanted her to be financially responsible for those kids. Like, he was not willing to help out at all in any way, shape, or form. And then all of a sudden he had another kid that popped up from a previous relationship as well. And it was just, like, a lot of, like, miscommunications, a lot of, like, financial issues where he did not want to, like, take her and her kids on as, like, part of his financial responsibility.
So one of those, I mean, like, I get it. I don't know.
I get it, but at the same time, it's like, if you marry someone, you marry their whole entire family.
Yeah, like, I don't think I would marry a dude with a kid unless I intended to take on the kid, like,
as one
if
of
they
your
were
own.
My own. But, like, I do also understand certain situations, especially I think it's different if the kids are, like, a little bit older, where it's kind of like...
And so I don't know how old Sylvia's kids
were. They have a dad. Like, why isn't their dad paying child support or helping,
true.
Like that.
You would expect the other person,
so I can understand it, like, both ways. Like, yeah, he should have been taking them in as his own.
I didn't think about
that.
But,
like, also, it's kind of like, like, I love them, and I don't mind, like, helping and doing whatever I can, and they're my own, too, but where's dad? Like, why isn't dad...
Yeah, dad needs to definitely step up, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. That makes sense.
I kind of get it.
Well, he was really upset because, I guess, in the court settlement, he had to pay her $10,000 or something like that. And then she got to keep the house and the family dog.
Okay, so he feels like he got fucked all around.
For sure. So before the attack, he had purchased a plane ticket to Illinois to be able to flee from the crime, saying that, like, oh, he was going to go and visit, like, one of his friends that was over, that lives over there. However, his homemade flamethrower had caught parts of his Santa suit, his Santa costume on fire, leaving him with second and third degree burns all over his arms.
Good.
That's what I said. So he quickly changed plans last minute. He changed out of his Santa suit, at least as much as he could, because parts of the Santa suit, like, fused to his arm. Because it's like that plasticky kind of material. Yeah. So it, like, burned into his skin. So he took off what he could of the Santa suit.
He's just got pieces of it stuck to his burnt flesh.
Nasty. So nasty.
I hope that when they caught him, they fucking ripped it off.
I wish that were the case. I really, really, really
Your
did.
Your face tells me that it wasn't.
It's not. So this sack of shit drove to his brother's house in Sylmar, which is about 30, maybe 40 miles from the Ortega's residence. His brother was not home when he arrived, but Bruce committed suicide with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. So he took the easy way out and escaped.
Wow. Seriously?
Yeah.
That's not how I remember it ending.
Then see, that's when I was looking back at the story, I looked back at it a long time ago because I had heard another podcast and they were talking about it and I was like, okay, I have to look into this. This is a couple years ago. But the way that I had heard it end was that he died in his car with the Santa suit still in, like, on him. Like, he died of his burns. But everything else that I read said that he committed suicide at his brother's house and police found his car. They found his car. I want to say it was like a block away from his brother's house. But on his actual body, he had $17,000, like, plastic wrapped to his legs.
Wait, what?
Yeah, under the suit, under his clothes. So he changed out of the Santa suit for most of the part. I don't know what he was wearing afterwards. But he had $17,000 in cash cling wrapped to his legs. Like I said, parts of the Santa suit were still stuck to his arms. And then they discovered his rental car that was parked a block away from his brother's house. And it was apparently set up somehow to detonate with some sort of black powder all over the place. The way that the website read it was if they removed the Santa suit or if they moved it at all, it would start a fire. And the whole entire thing would just go off. They found 4 13-round capacity handguns that had been emptied and about 200 rounds of extra ammo.
And, oh, wow. Yeah. What was he, like, trying to do?
Oh, he massacred the whole fucking family.
Well, yeah, but...
But you have actually 200 more rounds?
Did he plan on using all that?
And did you really think you needed 200 rounds to kill that many
people?
I
know.
That's a lot. Very excessive.
Plus the four...
The four handguns that
handguns
he had on him.
Plus the flamethrower.
Plus the flamethrower. Like, you could have just gone outside
and done the flamethrower. I wonder if his plan was to, like... I don't know.
Just at that point, go crazy and shoot up a bunch of other places?
Yeah, like if his intentions were to go somewhere else as well.
You would think. I'm not really sure.
With that much stuff. Your face says you have more. Keep telling me.
So, I don't have any more about, like, what else his plans were.
Just kidding.
But the bomb squad was called. And they had
probably
to, like...
for all the shit that was on the car.
Everything that was in the car. And they had to... the website said they had destroyed what was believed to be a threat before it could detonate on its own.
So they got... They what? Blew up the car?
Basically. They lit everything on fire in a way that didn't cause a massive explosion.
Okay.
I don't understand. Because if there's that black powder in the car... I don't know anything about explosives. But if the way they described it was there's a black powder in the car that could detonate the car... And you go and light it on fire anyways, wouldn't it still detonate?
For some reason, when he said explosive, that just made me think of that one docuseries about the dude and the pizza place.
And the thing around the poor his pizza neck. Delivery guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's
sad. We're going to cover that.
We are, after
We're
going
to cover that. There was someone that I used to hang out with that got me onto that. And I had never heard about that whole thing
before.
That
one sucks.
And I watched, like, the whole docuseries, and it, like, mind-fucked me.
Really? So I've never seen the docuseries
before. You need to see it. I think it's on, like, Amazon or something.
I will watch it.
Or Netflix. It's really good. It's, like, 4 or 5 parts, I think.
You know what? I think I saw it on there, and it's on my list of things to watch.
It definitely raised a lot of questions. But yeah, sorry, off topic, but you said that's explosive, okay. And I was like, dude and his head.
And see, when you think of that story, all I can think of is Saw. When same. He puts it around the nurse's head.
Yeah.
Booker. I love those movies. Well, that was contradictory right there. Fuck. Totally unplanned.
Nice. Sorry, one. You guys. I feel like I'm being, like, extra quiet today.
No, she's holding on to the baby.
I'm talking low, too. I'm sorry. I might have threw on the last episode that we posted on my way here. Because I was like, I think the last time we recorded, I was either really caffeinated or, like, really stoned. And oh, sorry, was I not supposed to say that?
No, you're either one or the other. Those are two different extremes for me.
I was one or the other, but like I was going like a mile a minute. And sometimes if I smoke the right weed, that's how I'll get. And I'm not really? Quiet, yeah. But yeah, if you smoke the right stuff, then you're like super, super.
Oh, that's right, there's an upper and a downer.
Yeah, so I was either really high or really, really caffeinated.
You're always caffeinated. This is the first time I've seen you without an energy drink in your hand
or a coffee. I'm cutting back.
Who are you?
I'm not Shauna anymore.
Oh my God.
Growth.
Oh my God.
But no, I was like so hyper on the last episode that I feel bad because I know I can see myself being like quiet this time.
Well, we've got drinks and.
Yeah, we've had a few drinks. And I do have
a sleeping baby in your arms. A sleeping
baby that's been fussing for like the last hour. So
sorry.
We're
trying to make this work for you guys to still get the episodes out and, you know, work around our situations.
And not have to have a sitter.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not about to pay for a sitter to come out here and watch her for an hour while we record.
It's okay. Next time we're bringing my son.
Then he can go sit in the other room and play with her. He'll try to feed her real food.
Look at my Lego.
No, you're playing.
He's smart enough to not do the food thing.
Oh, good.
He's asked about it a few times.
Has he?
Because he's in the process of losing his teeth. Aww. So he understands that if there's not a tooth there, that they can't really.
Chew anything.
Yeah. So we've talked about this. I've been prepping him.
Good. Because you're ready for another one.
No, because he asks about your baby all the time.
Well, he's welcome to come over whenever he wants. He puts Kona to rest. Not to rest, I should have said. He puts her to sleep because he plays with her a lot.
But yeah, so this guy is really fucked up.
Fuck this guy. So police went and searched Bruce's home, and they found 5 empty boxes of semi-automatic handguns, a Benelli M2 tactical shotgun, and a container for the racing fuel that he had dumped into his homemade little porch.
Plus all of the other things that they had already
found. Plus everything else that they had found. They described his home as a, quote, virtual bomb factory.
Wow.
Yep. So Bruce actually worked at JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
What's that?
You don't know what JPL is?
No.
Like they I went on a tour when I was like in like 6th grade to JPL, and they it's all like a bunch of NASA crap. It's all outer spacey stuff.
Okay. I mean, okay, I get like the gist of what you're saying.
Yeah, so basically a lot of leading experts think that his work experience aided to his abilities to execute his attack. And, like, you know, knowing, like, what different explosives work. JPL doesn't do explosives.
When people, like, do that kind of stuff. Or, like,
they abuse their job.
When they're in a profession where it, like, gives them access to that kind of, like, information and that kind of knowledge. And then they use it for bad things.
Mm-hmm. Which I also couldn't find because he doesn't have a criminal history or, like, a criminal record of anything. So it's not like he was on the list of, like, oh, you can't get a gun. So when he was registering to get all of these guns, it wasn't coming up as a red flag because he had no priors.
But wouldn't it still come up as a red flag that he's buying so many guns?
Not if you're buying them over a spaced out amount of time.
Oh, is that what he did?
I'm sure because I don't know what the logistics are on buying guns. I've never actually, like, had to go through that process aside from, like, my husband. But I even then, like, there were 2 guns purchased at the same time that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And
so at least 2 of them were purchased together.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's
because I feel like especially in 2008, because of all of the, like, terrorist attacks
after 9/11 and all that.
Yeah, 9/11 and Columbine and everything, they're more strict on that kind of stuff that they would notice, like, hey, this person is buying
They are.
Because that's a lot of guns.
Four guns plus the M2. I don't know anything about the M2.
Unless maybe he owned any of it prior.
You don't know if he acquired it from a father who passed away. Yeah. Or, you know, people can buy things on the black market all the time, too. But
I forget that's a thing.
That's definitely a thing. But like I said, I couldn't really find anything about him buying them illegally or legitimately, honestly.
Okay, but he bought them.
He got them, but he didn't have any priors at all. He was just bitter about everything and decided to take it out on his whole entire family.
Did they say anything about, like, his mental health? Like, had he ever had any issues?
Nothing about that at all. He was fired from one job before, but it didn't say why.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure what happened there. So Joseph, Alicia, Sylvia, they all died by gunshot wounds. Michael and another woman named Sherry Lynn Ortega, she and him both died from the fire, part of the explosions. Mm-hmm. James and Charles were Joseph and Alicia's sons. So they all together had five kids, three daughters, and two boys.
Okay.
And those were the two guys that got shot right after the 8-year-old girl was shot.
Okay, like right when she opened the door.
Yes.
Okay.
So James, Charles, and Alicia Jr. and Teresa died from both gunshot wounds and the fire. So, like, they were injured from the gunshot wounds, but what ultimately killed them was the fire.
Was, like, smoke inhalation.
Yes.
I'm sure.
And to clarify, Sherry Lynn Ortega and Teresa were the wives of James and Charles.
Aww.
Yeah.
Did they have kids with them?
13 children total were orphaned that night. Yeah.
Oh, but that means 13 lived?
I'm not sure where you're getting your numbers from.
You said 13 children were orphaned?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So their parents died and they lived.
I was like, what are you talking about? Yes. Sorry.
I'm like...
I've been drinking.
I'm like, wait, what do you mean?
So 13 kids did live. The only kid who did not survive was Michael, 17-year-old, who was upstairs playing computer games or who was on the computer.
He did not survive. He died in the fire.
He died in the fire, and it was said to be believed that it was almost immediate because when the explosion happened, it was... like, downstairs.
So did he not hear what was going on downstairs?
I'm not sure.
Or did he hear and then he just stayed upstairs because he was scared, maybe?
I have no idea if he had headphones on.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
If he was a kid playing computer games.
If he would have heard it, then he probably would have, like, fled.
Yeah. I would have either jumped out the window at my parents' room upstairs or I would have tried to, like, see what was going on for sure, being 17.
Yeah, I feel like he must have had to have had headphones on or something.
Because Julia and I were... when this happened, we were both 17 as well. So I remember thinking about, like, okay, what will we have done?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's very scary.
I don't know. What would you have done?
I mean, I wouldn't have been able to fight. I know I wouldn't have been able to fight, especially not that young.
I feel like situations like that, like, if I would have known that there was a way I could do something and, like, not be seen...
Oh, absolutely.
Probably would have done it.
Like, there's a weapon here. I know I can do something. Absolutely. I think my first priority would have been, like, because my brother and I are 10 years apart, I would have been like, where's my 7-year-old brother? I need to get him out of the house, because thinking, like, my parents are smart enough to be able to get out.
Yeah.
At least I would hope. But then I would do everything that I could to make sure that my parents were out as well, too.
My first thought's always, where's the gun?
That, definitely. Not that I want to say I know where my... parents' gun is, but
I knew where my parents' guns were, and I knew how to load them and shoot them. Always. I've been shooting guns since I was like six or seven.
It was always loaded. I would have just pulled it out and been like, boom. And that was something, like, I think I've talked about this before. I think about death and all these terrifying scenarios every single day, multiple times a day. And so for me, my always thought is, like, where's the gun? Here's what I would do. Where's the gun? Here's what I would do. If there's no gun, what would I do?
One day we're going to have an episode where we just talk about scenarios.
And trying to help you guys. If there's ever an issue, here's what you should do.
We're gonna talk about scenarios. That's it. I'm calling it. We're going to dedicate an episode to that because I
don't think a lot of people are prepared.
I don't think I would be a final girl.
What does that mean?
You know, a final girl. Mm-mm. Like Sydney Prescott.
Don't know what you're talking about.
From, like, Scream and stuff like that. Like, a final girl. Like, the one
the
that,
last one who survives?
Yeah, like, the one that lives.
Really?
I don't think... I mean, maybe. If it was, like, the right movie. Maybe if it was one of those scenarios where, like, it was my boyfriend that turned on me, like, in Scream or something. Because I don't trust dudes for anything. So, I could see that shit coming from, like, a mile away. So, I could see me being a final girl in something like that.
But if it was all my stuff like is Freddy Krueger, home invasion. Kind of, well, I mean, good okay, luck.
Maybe I could handle some home invasion stuff just because I know where the guns are.
That's my only thought. My scare is, like, if I'm in a room that I'm not prepared. Because if you think about where you hide your stuff, you hide it typically
in
a certain... in your bedroom or in a certain spot.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, if me and my kid are downstairs... Can I get to that spot right away?
Yeah, no, I get you. It's a lot of, like, thinking on your feet.
It is, which is why I always have the alarm on. And we have Kona.
That damn dog.
She will save us from just about anything. As soon as I realize, like, oh, she's a guard dog for sure, like, I'm not really worried anymore. Her bark is really scary. So, like I said, 13 children in total were orphaned that night. Two others lost one parent, which okay. I believe would be, like, they lost Sylvia, but they also had their dad who was not there.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
I actually have a friend who knew the whole entire family, and she and her mom were actually supposed to go to the party that night. I texted her a couple of days ago asking her, like, hey, I know you know about this. Is there anything that you want to share? And she said, well, my mom and I were supposed to go to that party, but I got sick, and so we opted to not go. And her mom was best friends with Alicia, and based on the ages, I'm going to say her mom was best friends with Alicia Jr.
Okay.
The one who passed away. Well, they all, both Alicia's passed away, but they were best friends, and my friend said that that whole entire family was one of the most amazing families, one of the best families that she had ever met, and that her family to this day is still haunted by what happened, and they're obviously reminded of this tragedy every single year.
That's really, really awful.
Katrina, the 8-year-old girl, mm-hmm. She's 20 this year, and back...
Oh, yeah, she lived.
She lived. Back in 2018, when the schools were doing all those walkouts for the anti-gun protests, yeah. She took part in that. I don't believe she's actually, from what I was able to read, I could be wrong, I don't believe she's actually total anti-gun, but she's trying to change the gun laws mm-hmm. to make sure that people just can't get them as easily as they can.
And they shouldn't be able
to,
honestly.
I'm very, very pro-gun, but I'm also very, very pro, you can only get it if you meet all of this criteria. Like, there's a 10-day waiting period from the day that you go and purchase the gun.
I do think that that's really smart that mm-hmm. they do that, just because a lot of people, not even so much just background checks, a lot of people that have committed, like, horrendous crimes mm. of passion and stuff like
they
that.
They get the gun and try to go out immediately.
It's because they get that, like, spur of the moment where they're just, like, so enraged, like, oh,
that makes
my
sense.
Spouse did this to me, like, I just want to fucking kill them. And then they go out, they get a gun, and they do it.
Yeah.
And...
If there's a 10-day waiting period, they can cool down.
It's because it was like a crime of passion, you know? It's because they're enraged. But yeah, with those 10-day waiting periods, it gives them a moment to be like, hey, this is 5 days in. Do I really still want to kill this person?
Do I really need this? No,
I don't think I need to do this. And obviously, for some people, it's going to be like, yes. But and background checks and stuff like that. Like,
that's the thing is, there's the background checks for me, I don't feel like they go in as deep as they should.
I feel like the tricky thing with background checks, too, is that, like, okay, it's so stupid. My dad always used to tell me when I was a kid, for every single lie that I told, mm-hmm. there was, like, what would he say? For every lie that you tell, there's 99 that you didn't get caught for.
Mm.
So, like, you get caught in a lie, you get caught in one lie, but there's all of these other ones that you didn't get caught in. And it's the same with people and crimes.
True.
Like, not every single person that gets caught doing a crime, that's not usually their first time.
Usually you're right.
But there's all of these other times where they didn't get caught. So background checks, I feel, aren't always, like, the best way to go. I mean,
they're,
they're necessary.
But it's almost like they need, like a mental evaluation at the same time to make sure that you're mentally stable enough to handle a weapon. For me, I really believe that, like, okay, cool, 10-day waiting period and all, maybe make that out a little bit longer, and you have to get in a mental evaluation, and you also have to get in, like, at least one or two trainings to be able to use it properly.
Oh, yeah, like, for, yeah.
Because a lot of people will carry it and not know how to use it.
And not know, like, what they're really doing.
We know how to use it. We know how to hold it unless we're absolutely certain that we want our finger on the trigger. You know, like,
yeah,
you're prepared to. And we're only using it in a moment of, I need to defend my family. I need to defend myself from somebody who's putting a threat on my life, which is totally, totally, in my opinion, acceptable. But if you're going to go and be, like, a douchebag about it and shoot the gun up into the air.
Oh, yeah. Do people not remember that the bullets come back down?
It's crazy because my husband will send me videos from when he's at work on, like, New Year's Eve, and I'm just dreading the thought of him going back to work again this New Year's Eve, and he's just like, he'll send me a video, and he's like, it sounds like there's fireworks everywhere. And it's just guns going off. Like,
oh my God,
crazy.
That's terrible.
Yeah. There's a few fireworks, but it's mostly just guns. And it's a lot of them. And so it's like they have to kind of like hide under a parking garage because you just, you don't know what people are doing. If they're shooting them up, like, they're obviously going to come back down.
Yeah.
And your house isn't always going to protect you. If it's a one-story house, your roof is only so thick.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's crazy.
So, side note too for this story, a band called X-Ray Specs recorded the song Black Christmas in 2010, and the song references this massacre. And the 2012 movie Silent Night, which is a remake of a couple different movies, but this was also based on the massacre, as a man who dressed as Santa attacks a Christmas party with a handmade flamethrower, knowing that his ex-wife would be there. So if you have any interest, go give it a listen and go give it a watch.
Oh, that kind of makes me think of that season of American Horror Story. Asylum.
Loved that one.
That was a good one.
That one was really, really good. Yeah. Did you ever watch the movie Black Christmas?
Yeah.
That one was fucked.
Are you talking about the one with the girls? No.
And the guy that lives upstairs, he's got the yellow skin, and he makes cookies out of their skin.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So gross.
Yeah, awful.
Sorry for all the banter today, you guys.
Drinks. I blame it on the drinks.
Drinks.
Drink. It's my first time really, really drinking in a long time, and I missed it, and it was so good.
You guys should have seen her face.
I lit up when she pulled out the stuff.
I brought all of the alcohol with me. I picked it up on my way home from work, and she kind of, like, sits down, and we're just catching up, and she just, like, looks at me. She's like, oh, like, make yourself at home. And I was like, oh, is that you telling me you're ready for a drink?
I already had the cups out.
She out the cups and everything. I'm like, okay, this is you saying you want a drink. Okay.
And I forgot how many times I have to pee when I drink. I've peed three times already, and I have
three
to go
times. But yeah, guys.
But that's it. That's the story.
That one was really
upsetting.
That one, yeah, it's sad. And
yours is going to be really upsetting too, though.
Yeah, ours is pretty, mine is pretty upsetting.
And so we'll go and do that one next week. And then the week after will be the last week for our Christmas specials.
Yeah,
and that one's going to be crazy.
That one's going to be cool. That one's going to be really like fun. A Christmas mashup because it's not just going to be one thing. And
multiple.
The multiple things that we're going to talk about aren't necessarily all, like, the same either.
No, they're not.
But they all involve the Christmas season.
They sure do.
Yeah. So, hope you guys enjoyed the episode.
And check out the Instagram for some pictures. And if we're going to do a contest at the end of the month, it'll be based on whether or not you tell enough friends to come and check us out. So
yeah.
Tell your friends.
Hit us
spread
up
the word.
On Instagram. It's bothered_AF.
email bothered AF at gmail.com.
I've got the email on my phone now, which means I check it more.
Yay! Good job. Send us email.
We can start a conversation.
Yes.
I'm kind of fun to talk to sometimes. I get bored really easily, so send us all the emails.
Please do. Your topics, your stories.
And then the Facebook page is still, just look up Bothered AF. It'll be there.
As she rolls her eyes.
Yeah. The big old eye roll with my big old eyelashes.
Yep.
You know?
And if don't know the big old eyelashes, then you need to go look at our new logo, because
the lashes are there.
We're still trying to figure out how to upload it to the actual podcast. For whatever reason, it won't upload.
I know how to do it. I just have to resize everything, and I don't really want to pay for the app, but I'm probably just going to make another fake email account and then go from there.
Just log into mine.
But yeah, guys.
So, we'll figure it out.
It was great talking to you. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. We're super excited about everything this month. And yeah.
Stay bothered, you guys.
Stay bothered.
Happy ho-ho-ho-ho holidays.
What Ashley said.
I've got a little kid now, so everything I do is silly.
It's funny. I was never very silly.
Really? Not until you had Adrian?
No.
Not even then? Oh, really?
I'm not a very silly person. Like, I can be sometimes with the right people.
That's the only way I get her to smile at me is if I'm, like, stupid silly.
No, I was never really like, my son was never entertained by that, by silliness.
Really?
No.
She loves it.
He was not like.
He's serious, well, because he's your son, so that makes sense.
He's my kid, so we're both serious, apparently. But yeah, guys, until next time, stay bothered. Bye.